This is the CU 2.0 podcast with your host, Robert McGarvey. Big new ideas about credit unions. CU 2.0 podcast.
Time travel back 20 years. Imagine you're going into a credit union or bank. Your intent is to ask for a personal loan for $500. That's 500 bucks. Approximately 2002, 500 bucks. Here's the reality. Unless you are a very, very established member customer, you'd be shown the door. Empty-handed. That's because in those days, there was no way to profitably make that loan. 500 bucks? Nah. 50,000? Sure. If your credit was rock solid, sure. But 500 for some emergency dental work? Nah. Just hit the door, bud. But now we're in 2022, and suddenly fast, inexpensive loan underwriting is a reality, as is fast, inexpensive loan processing. Enter Quillo. Startup co-founded by Don Schaefer, well known as a co-founder of Casasa. In the show notes, there's a link to CU 2.0 podcast number 23, which is on Casasa. Quillo's business is making quick installment loans to credit union members where the member chooses the payback timetable that works best for him or her. In most cases, too, the terms are more favorable than buying over time on a credit card. Loan decisioning also is very fast. Loans can be offered on credit as well as debit transactions. The credit union will hold the paper, and Quillo's business model is direct to credit unions and community banks. The company also plans to help participating credit unions market the availability of Quillo financing to merchants in their community, who will be encouraged to make their customers aware of this opportunity. For the merchants, the costs of a Quillo loan will be much, much, much less than the cost of a credit card transaction fee for that merchant. Much less. Sound good? Well, the other guest in this podcast is Joe Arnold. Joe's CEO of the $500 million Carter Credit Union in Northern Louisiana. Arnold says he wants to offer Quillo to both his members and merchants. He also indicates he believes Quillo will help bring new members into Carter. New, younger members. That means it will help solve two concerns, the need for new members, particularly younger members, and putting Carter deposits profitably to work. How cool is that? This, incidentally, is the fourth and last quick podcast from the recent CU2 VIP Live event that brought together perhaps three dozen credit union and fintech leaders. Good talk, good ideas, good fun. Wish you'd been there. Take heart. A follow-up event is planned for late summer, early fall. Stay tuned and listen up.
Introduce yourselves.
I'm Don Schaefer, founder and chief evangelist for Quillo, Q-U-I-L-O.
My name's Joe Arnold. I am chief executive officer for Carter Federal Credit Union. We're in Northwest Louisiana, $500 million credit union.
You also serve Arkansas, right?
We are right there. It's called the Arklatex. So we're right there at the kind of the border between Louisiana, Arkansas, and Texas.
All right. Not the most prosperous part of the nation.
No. Well, no, not any part of Louisiana, really.
Parts of New Orleans are.
Yeah, well.
But you go up that direction, it's hard country.
Yep. I grew up in the Dallas area, and when I moved out there about 13 years ago, I mean, there are beautiful areas, no doubt. You can go anywhere in the country and find really beautiful places, but the poverty, I was not used to seeing that amount of poverty. It's pretty eye-opening.
So Quillo, Don, tell us about Quillo. You're sort of the man of the hour.
The man really is my co-founder, Boris Fuzloff. This is his brainchild. He's been building fintech platforms for Deutsche Bank, JP Morgan, Goldman Sachs. And we got together about a year and a half ago and said, what can we do to help the community banks and the credit unions? And what we came up with and what we built is a digital lending platform that literally any community bank or credit union can start making loans to existing checking account holders, you know, in about 40 seconds. An existing customer can find out they can get an installment loan, and they pick their rate, pick the terms. There's three use cases. When they get one of these loans, they can use that loan to pay down their high-interest credit cards. They can use that loan to replenish their checking account for a large debit card purchase and convert that to installments to pay back. Or they can get a loan that the money goes instantly on a virtual card that they can go use online or walk into a brick and mortar and use it as well. So then the other thing, to try to help the community banks and the credit unions, they can now go to every business in their market and let that business owner know, hey, we can really help you increase your sales. See, a lot of banks think they help their business customers, but other than making them loans, that's about all they really do. So this is a game changer where they can go to each business and say, we can literally help you increase your sales by offering instant financing to any of your customers. So any brick and mortar that has a product that sells for hundreds or thousands of dollars, they can offer those customers. You can get an instant loan. I mean, in just a couple of minutes, you can find out if you get a loan or not. And then think about the people that call on, you know, roofers and HVAC and plumbers, anybody that goes to a home to make a repair, and it may cost hundreds or thousands of dollars. They can simply hand them a business card with a QR code on it and tell their customer, that homeowner, well, just scan that QR code and you can find out and you get a loan in just a few minutes. And the big thing is the interest rates on these loans, because it's community bank and credit union doing the loan, the interest rates are usually way, way less than using a credit card. It's charging 16, 18, 20% interest. So it's a much better, helps the customer save a bunch of money, and then the customer, again, is picking the term and picking the amount of money they want to pay back every month. So it's really a win-win for everybody. That's a long answer, Robert. I hope it's okay.
It's fine. It's fine. Though. So the credit union owns the paper.
Oh, yeah. They're making them. We're just the technology provider that gives them enables them to be able to do all this.
And how do you decide if you're going to make the loan or not? What do you look at?
Well, the credit union will, first of all, we use their credit criteria. We give them the parameters of how the system was built. For example, you know, the minimum amount of loan would be $250. The maximum could be $25,000. The monthly payback can be anywhere from 3 to 60 months. Well, the credit union will decide within those parameters how they want to play. Same thing, the APRs could be from 7 to 25, 26. They're involved in all that. The minimum credit score they're going to pick, the amount of money they're willing to loan on different tiers. But the decisioning, it's very complicated. We do a soft pull, so it's not going to affect the applicant's credit score. But the good news is we get that credit report through the AI and the machine learning in our platform. There's over 300 data points that can be gleaned from an individual credit report, and that is where the decision gets made. You know, it determines, A, does this applicant even qualify for any kind of a loan? B, you know, how many dollars would this particular person actually qualify to get? And C, how many months are we going to allow that person to make that payment? And then the big thing is, what's going to be the weighted risk premium put in there for the, you know, in case if it's delinquencies or chargebacks? So it's a complex system. But the great news is our team has been building these for 20 years, and this is really the next generation of how these decisions get made.
It's a very different decisioning process from what most of the BNPL players use.
Totally, totally. You know, a lot of for the people out there been reading the articles, you know, about BNPL, I'd like it, the way we look at BNPL, most of that, 80% of BNPL are transactions, they're loans for purchases under $250. 80% of those are under $250. And they're really mostly happening on e-commerce sites. And it's really pay in four, which means the consumer is paying 25% of the purchase price when they place that order. And they're agreeing to pay 25% every 2 weeks. So most of BNPL is pay in four, 0% interest. And people always ask, well, how do they do a 0% interest loan? The merchant is giving the BNPL company, like Affirm, Klarna, Sezzle, Afterpay, and there's a whole bunch of them, they're giving up anywhere from 5 to 7% of the retail price. So the consumer is getting 0% interest because the merchant, you know, the stats are out there. People are, they're motivated to buy some. Oh, I can get this 6 weeks to pay it back at 0% interest. Well, oh, that sounds like a great deal. But the merchant gave up 5 to 7%. If you do the math, which I have, 5%, if a retailer is giving up 5% for 6 weeks, it turns out to be almost 100% APY. the BNPL guys, most of them don't do any underwriting. That's why the loans are small. And what they're doing, they have their own credit decisioning system. So once they see you take out a $180 loan for tennis shoes and you're paying it back in 6 weeks, then they start upping it where you can get a little bit more. But it's a totally different way of doing business than we do. We report to the bureaus. They don't. We do the full underwriting. They don't. We communicate with the borrower, let them know 7 days before a payment's due, and then 2 days. We're always in communication with them, and most of the BNPLs, they don't do that either.
Do people confuse you with BNPL?
No, not really. Just because the way our offering is made through the credit union. We communicate with the members through emails, let them know you can get this Quillo. Quillo, by the way, we made that word up, Q-U-I-L-O. It means quick installment loan. So it's not happening. It's not being offered by the merchant at the point of sale when the credit unions launch it to their members. But the flip side of that, Robert, is the credit union, though, can now go to every business in their market and take them something that the banks don't have to offer right now. They can go to credit union and say, go to a business and say, we'll literally help you increase your sales. We'll offer instant financing to all of your customers, and all your customer has to do is scan this QR code. And it takes them right into to making an application.
Well, what's fascinating is that 5 years ago, this probably technically was not possible to make decisions so quickly. And furthermore, if you walked into a Chase and said, I want to borrow $250 to buy a snow tire, they would have said, get the hell out of here. We don't do $250 loans, man. Put it on a credit card. You don't got a credit card? Get out of here even faster.
Yeah. Yeah. That reminds me, one of our clients, his name is James Mark. He's the president of City National Bank in Taylor, Texas. And prior to being able to do this, he said that their policies at the bank, they could not make a loan to anybody unless it was at least $2,000.
That's because it costs them that much in salary and whatnot.
Yeah.
To go over the credit files.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, most of the surveys, it's $85 to $200 to do the underwriting on a loan. And what James told us, he said, we know we're sending people away that needed, they came in, they wanted $800 to get their car out of the shop. Or they needed, $500 to get an air conditioner repaired, and we had to send them away. And he says, I know that they were going down the street and getting a payday loan, and ended up paying 2 or 3 or 4% interest. It just killed them. So he said, this is almost a godsend. We have a product now we can offer them for a small dollar amount and don't have to spend all that money. So it's a big deal.
So Joe, where do you come into this picture?
Well, like any credit union, we are in need of making loans. I mean, the credit union is right there in the name. We are here to provide credit to our members and to the communities we serve. And you can call that a car loan. You can call it a mortgage loan. These are just loan types. And this is a new loan type, relatively new loan type to the industry. And it's an emerging need, and I think as a credit union, we're constantly looking for ways to deploy our funds into high quality loans, and at the same time, we're looking for ways to attract new and particularly younger members, and this is two birds with one stone. I know that they're, because it is typically a younger demographic that gravitates this direction, and then we get the loan out of it as well, which is fantastic.
Yeah, and the attracting younger people is because this is all digital. I mean, they want to do things on their mobile phone. So everything we're talking about is done on a mobile phone, and it's nobody has to go into a branch, nobody has to fill out a bunch of documents. Everything is electronic. And that's why this helps the credit unions acquire those younger people, because then the reality is the Gen Zers, they're banking at PayPal. They don't open accounts at brick and mortars. And so this is a big deal to help the credit unions start getting those younger people.
Actually, they're banking at Venmo.
Yeah, that's right. And Venmo. Thank you.
They don't use PayPal.
That's right.
And they don't know PayPal owns Venmo. So are you going to invest in Quillo?
We are eager to partner with Quillo to purchase loans from them. And if we can have a deeper relationship with Quillo, we will do that. But mainly it's just getting the loans and the new members that are associated with that, and it really fits our balance sheet needs and our member growth needs. And it's such a unique product. We don't have anything like this. I mean, we have credit cards, but and this is similar in the fact that it's a personal loan. But these are folks that are actively, they could do credit cards, yeah, but they're actively choosing this product type because it fits it's more financially responsible, you know, because there's an installment component to it. Whereas the credit card, we all know you can make minimum payments on credit cards. And if you only make the minimum payments, then you'll pay off your credit card in 50 years or something like that. And a lot of younger people have been raised and taught that the credit cards are evil products. And so here we are. That's what one of the things that we offer are credit cards. And so we're going to be missing the boat on making a new style of personal loans if we don't go into this avenue.
Will you make less money on this than you would on a credit card?
I know. I think risk adjusted is probably very similar because of all the risk mitigating factors that Don talked about. I think risk adjusted is probably similar returns, but a lot less effort on our end. I mean, especially if you factor in the insane amount of marketing expense that you would have specifically on a credit card portfolio. How do we compete with what's in your wallet? I mean, what is our catchphrase? I don't have one, you know, and even if I did, people wouldn't know it because I can't spend the kind of money that Capital One and some of these other guys do. And so it's hard to grow that portfolio. But I think all, when it's all said and done, this is a great relationship because the returns are good, but it's also a lot less effort on our end to bring those loans in.
Are you going to seek to inform merchants in your area about Quillo?
Yeah, that's actually a side benefit to it. I mean, I think it's worth it just from the loan side and from the membership side. But to the extent that you want to serve businesses, small businesses, and we do, we have a commercial lending portfolio. You know, it's hard. You're out there competing with however many other very similar financial institutions. And if we're honest with ourselves and we say, well, what separates us? What differentiates us with another credit union in town or another community bank in town? Why would a small business want to do business with me? Is there something that I can provide that they can't? And I think that this actually opens a door for that possibility to say, well, wait a second, here's a service that I'd like to introduce you to that could be really good for your business. And if I'm the one making that introduction to these businesses, that gives me a leg up and a reason for them to do business with me.
Do you see this as a way to get some new members?
Oh yeah, absolutely, and not just the new members, but again, it tend to skew towards a younger generation, and we're always looking for how do we attract new members and younger members are great because they typically are borrowing money, which we want to lend money. But the other thing about young members is great is that they grow into old members, and old members are good too because they're the ones that have the money typically. And so we need young members so that someday we'll have more old members. So we're always looking. That's, you know, that demographic is very important to us.
Yeah, credit unions structurally right now have way too many old members, and I'm an old guy, so I'm not making fun of old people. They don't have enough young members. And I'm not going to borrow money from you. I'm sorry. I'm just not going to.
Yeah. Yeah. We'd give it to you in a heartbeat.
You would.
If you ever had a need for it. But yeah, the And the thing is that the younger members are harder to attract than there used to be, because the way the world is changing and the way technology is changing, and it's, you know, the old, well, I have car loans and I'll just sit here and wait until this 29-year-old gets ready to buy a car, and then he'll come and see me and I'll pre-approve him for a car loan. Well, that's not the way it works anymore. And so, you know, we're losing market share in some of these traditional products. Well, guess what? There are other products that are kind of taking the place of our older products. And so we need to adapt to that.
Just look at what happened in home mortgages, where that's controlled completely at this point by places like Rocket Mortgage. Yeah. Traditional financial institutions are on the sidelines.
You know, one of the things that I would like to talk about, how we'll help Joe and any credit union, what we do at Quillo, we have a marketing budget that we're going to be spending on social media ads. So, for example, for Carter, we'll be using the Facebook and Instagram and Snapchat to get young, and it's focused on the Gen Zs to get them to want to get a Quillo, get a loan. And it, and when they click, it's going to take them straight to his website, which is then a link there to apply and get that Quillo loan. So we're going to be driving the young people to get a loan from him. Now it's up to him to cross-sell them and get them to come in and get the checking account, and he can do that too.
And if I lived in northern Louisiana, I would not see that those ads on Facebook, right? Because I'm the wrong demographic.
That's correct, because it's exactly right. This is specifically aimed at the younger millennials and the Gen Z crowd. So unless you're looking at your granddaughter's, you know, Facebook or Instagram, you probably
right.
won't see it.
It would be a granddaughter, not a child. So what's the barrier to entry? Yeah, I was looking at my American Express page the other day, and I see they're now doing essentially buy now, pay later. Do you want to convert this?
Yeah, they've been doing that. All the big credit card issuers have been letting their customers convert a credit card charge to an installment loan. And we're helping the credit unions do that on debit card transactions is one of the options for their members to convert a debit card charge, they already did, to an installment loan. The barrier to entry for the credit union, it's, in my opinion, you have CEOs that they're at a point in their life, okay, they recognize they need younger people, they recognize they need loans, but this is different, this is new, and they're figuring, well, another 2 years, it's somebody else's problem. So the only barrier to entry for us is people kicking the can down the road.
Now, I'm thinking more like a firm.
Oh.
Klarna saying, why don't we just do this line of business?
I mean, why didn't a firm or Klarna do it?
Right. Or J.P. Morgan Chase.
I don't know the answer to that other than their business models are different. Now, J.P. Morgan, a big bank like that, they're not going to – those big guys, we're talking about boots on the ground. I mean, the way you get merchants – for example, a firm in Klarna and all those guys are signing up merchants. But if Joe were to go to – let's assume that every business in North Louisiana was working with one of those BNPLs, okay? Most of those businesses would quit working with those Wall Street BNPLs because they have to give up a lot of money to make these things work. Joe goes to these businesses and says, no, it's free. It doesn't cost you anything. You don't have to pay me any money off the top, nothing. Just you get 100% on the dollar. You know, if it's a $5,000, you know, a hot tub, they get $5,000. When they're working with those other guys, they don't. And the other thing here is the processing. You know, if a business owner takes a credit card or debit card, they're giving up a pretty big chunk of that. Could be up to 3% for processing fees. Here again, the business is only going to pay 1.5%. So he also saves them a bunch of money on that. At the end of the day, Joe can crush these other companies because his cost of funds is like 10 or 15% of what those buy now pay, what those other companies are paying for their money. And that's why he can always win.
So you're pretty confident that there will be competition.
Oh, yeah. But once Joe gets in there, nobody's going to be able to displace him because nobody's going to be able to undercut him on price. And that's what they want. The lower the price for the consumer, the more sales they're going to make. And that's where he'll always win. That's why I say, You know, I tell everybody, look, this is a once in a lifetime opportunity. Think about credit unions. Most businesses, they have a bank account. They don't really work with credit unions. But this is that a once in a lifetime. If every credit union would make a list of every business in their market and they just went out and saw everyone and say, we can help you. We'll offer instant installment loans to any of your customers as long as they qualify. Who's going to say no to that? I mean, they could literally have hundreds of businesses open an account because they want that. And then everybody's getting a loan that's helping Joe get another loan, but it's also giving him a new member because 90-95% of those people getting those loans probably never heard of the credit union, certainly hadn't been in the door, and now he can cross-sell them. It's an amazing opportunity for a credit union.
How many credit union customers do you have at this point?
Well, we started marketing, I guess we've been 7 weeks now, and we have 9 banks and 2 credit unions, and that's all happened in 2 months. And it will explode because we have, I don't know, 30 non-disclosures out already. Because when people see it, they go, oh, yeah, we need to learn more. So they sign a non-disclosure, then we start showing them under the covers how the decisioning engine works and how our marketing stuff works.
Yeah. Well, as you know better than I, if you have 2 credit unions, it's easy to get to 20. If you have 0 credit unions, it's really hard to get to 2.
That's right.
Yeah. Well, I think fortunately, since I've been around now for 30 years, and a lot of people know my last company, Kasasa, it makes it easier to get in the door.
Meanwhile, Kasasa also had a lot of credit union customers.
Yeah. Yeah. There's well over a million members of credit unions that have the Kasasa accounts.
The CU 2.0 podcast.